why did you choose to share something that so many others would desperately want to keep private?
I chose to share it because my work has always been very personal. It's been academic, and so there's been argument, you know, and there's been theory and all of that, but it always combines with a kind of memoir aspect. So to have an experience like this and to not have it in my work would be exceedingly odd. There's no way I could do it.
A sin of omission.
A sin of omission and soul killing also. There's no way that I could do that. And then also, several years ago, actually maybe going on 10 years ago at this point, I started wanting to help people, and especially women. How can I help women through my work? And women have always said to me, oh, that was inspiring, or thank you so much for saying that because that's how I feel and I've never read that anywhere, and stuff like that. But with this, you know, with this experience, the breast cancer experience, and to put that forward in the way that I do in the book, which is not avoiding the terror, it's talking about the terror, but it comes out and it's peaceful and joyful and serene, and that people are very aware of that and they comment on that and how different it is from many people's experiences. And I don't think that that's only... I don't think it's being Pollyanna-ish. I mean, it's my experience, and it comes out of whatever these sort of physical and spiritual and mental practices that I do are. And maybe it's the way that I was born also. I don't know. But I thought that I could help people with the words that I say and also the pictures in the book.
What would you most want to tell the Joanna that was in that period that we're calling the terror, that you think would have brought her solace?
Well, I gotta tell you, I think that when one is experiencing terror like that, that you simply have to go through it. You know, it was so intense that I don't even know what I did. It's a kind of suppression of stuff, I guess. There was nothing in particular that I read then. Later on, during the healing, there were two books that were amazing to me to read. They had nothing to do with breast cancer, any disease. It was Moby Dick and the Odyssey, and they were absolutely extraordinary to me. And they helped me heal. They were great friends. They really helped me heal. And what I could say is go through it. Feel it. Don't suppress it. Feel it. You've got to feel it in order to go through it. I think that so many people suppress the difficult feelings and that terror at a difficult diagnosis. I don't know if it's easy to suppress, but people do. I understand that a lot of people, I think I even heard what the statistic was. So many people are on anxiety medication. It sort of shocked me when I heard it, and now I think, I don't know how it could shock me, because I understand how terrifying it can be. But you know, if you're medicating yourself, you're not feeling it. Now, I can't say that everybody should. I'm not going to say should. But I know for me, that I would say to people, feel what you're feeling. I say, let life move through you and move through life. Let terror move through you and move through the terror. It's the only way to do it. It's, again, for me, I can't say it's the only way for other people. But I can't say that reading this or that or making love or eating chocolate cake or whatever, that those things are going to be the solace. What provides the true help and the true healing also is to go through it and to develop faith. Now, I sound like a faith healer or something, but faith in what those around me are saying to me. And from the get-go, my primary care physician was saying, you're going to live a long and healthy life. Everybody's prognosis is not my prognosis. Everybody's diagnosis is not mine. But I realize, even with the diagnosis that I had, if somebody had one like that, I don't know that there are any two that, you know, they're so different from each other, they might have reacted very differently from me and gone into a panic and gotten medication and everything. But for me, it was like, whoa, This is an opportunity to grow. I think also that a way to go through the terror is to have faith that you will move through this. As I say in the book, to trust oneself, to trust oneself, to trust what you know. And I knew that I would be fine. Again, I was hearing this from my friends, from other people, and people who I trust, and from the doctors, you know, as well. So I chose to believe it. Other people would choose not to.
Other people would use the term big crisis or big trauma, where you use the term big healing. And I think that that's interesting, too.
That's very interesting. But that title, A Short Story About a Big Healing, had come to me before there was any breast cancer diagnosis. I knew that that was the title of the next book that I was going to write. And I wanted to deal with my own healing. And again, there had not been anything big, just sort of the little things we all go through. You know, oh, I sprained my ankle.
But healing is one of the most miraculous and amazing things that we can do.
Is it ever?
And yet, how much of the pie chart do we devote to healing, you know?
Well, I devoted.
You did, yes.
I devoted myself to that.
Individuals can do that. But in our society, in our media, healing is something you do. Go do it over there. We don't want to know about it, kind of thing. You know what I mean? I mean, we get excited about some of the other things our bodies do, but we don't get excited about healing.
Why do you think that is?
I'm asking you.
Why do I think that people don't deal with healing? Well, I think that one of the big reasons is just what you said, that it's not in the media. The media isn't putting stuff out there that's about, here's how you help heal yourself. And healing is about creativity. You have to be creative about it. And a lot of people don't think they're creative. But if I were to say that to people, they say, well, I'm not creative. But it's about creating what's right for you. You know?
So not being creative in the sense of art, but being creative in the sense of creating what you need for yourself?
Creating what you need for yourself. Now, granted, this takes some self-knowledge. But the thing is, what else are you going to do in a time like this except come to know yourself better and better and better? It is an opportunity for the most extraordinary self-growth. And so healing is self-growth, and that's the creativity of flowering yourself throughout this experience. And I have to say, in talking with you, I realize that the terror is part of it. It's part of that flowering. If I didn't have the terror in my book, I mean, this is a short story about a big healing. Well, I guess the terror is part of it. It's in there. It has to be, because there is a, you know, to use sort of the cliche terms, a process, a journey, but there is. And one must digest the terror. You know, it's like eating some food. You eat it. Okay, there's a diagnosis. Okay, there's the food, as it were. Yeah. We don't want it, but, you know, don't throw it up. Don't throw it up. You've got to digest it and absorb it in some way. And then, you know, it's like then it's got to come out as some kind of, you know,
or act as an energy source, a stimulus for the healing.
Exactly. Terror is a stimulus for healing. I mean, there it is. And it's saying, change your life. That's what it said to me. Change your life.
Did you feel guilt in any way that you thought that something about your lifestyle or choices or anything like that had
never
to do with your diagnosis?
No, never. I did not spend much time at all thinking about, why did this happen? Oh, woe is me. Oh, da-da-da-da-da-da. I know I was asking people a lot during the terror. Am I going to be well? Am I going to be well? Am I going to be well? Am I okay? And then my friends and my sister would get sort of like, yes, yes, but you have to know that. Yes. And they weren't saying it to as some kind of palliative thing. They were saying it because they knew that. And I trust them, and I knew that they knew it. So that was very heartening to me. But again, where were we just? Because you were saying
I was drawing from what you were saying, that the terror actually is the stimulus or the the thing that powers the healing in the body.
It does.
You don't accept the terror, you're not going to heal. This to me, this feels like pretty revolutionary stuff that we're talking about right now. I mean, Andrew Weil may have these kind of conversations every day before breakfast, but to me, this is exciting because it's telling me that It's telling me that the things that happen to us that are bad, that are dreadful, that are traumatic, actually can be a part of their own healing process.
Absolutely. Why else are they there?
Before, to me, it's always been separate. You trauma, mm-hmm. you heal. They're not necessarily connected.
They're all together. They're all together. This is an integrated experience. And so the terror has to be part of it. That's why I say, don't suppress it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Let it come out of you, you know. It'll come out in some way, and or it'll dissolve. It'll like come out as like perspiration in your pores or something like that. It'll come out of your body. But it is part of that healing, because the healing is on all fronts, soul and mind, inseparable from body. It's on all fronts. So part of the healing is becoming a more compassionate person. And that compassion is for oneself as well. I say in the book, I thought I was gentle with myself. I became gentler yet. So I think people can get really rough on themselves. And your question about, you know, did I feel guilt or did I? No. I've taken really good care of myself in my life. I'm really healthy. And so I could be going around bemoaning, oh, why this happened to me? Why this happened to me? It shouldn't be happening to me. I didn't even say to myself, oh, it's happening. It's just, well, here it is, and I'm going to do something about it. Because what becomes really clear also, and I think terror is part of this, is what is necessary. And also, I realized in my work several years ago that what I was getting very interested in my writing and therefore my performances, is beauty, economy, and necessity. This book and the previous book, which are both self-published, are really beauty, economy, and necessity. They're very short books, and but the thing is, the terror is part of the beauty, economy, and necessity also.
A moment ago, you said body, soul, and mind combined.
Oh, soul and mind inseparable from body.
Soul and mind inseparable from body, okay. Yeah. When you were going through the terror or other stages of this, mm-hmm. were you able to keep those three things unified, or did you begin to view your body as the odd person out?
Oh, that's so interesting. No, for me, they're all together.
Yeah, that never.
They're all together in general, and they were all together during this, and I'm sure that was really great. And I realize everybody isn't like that. Also, they feel like their body is like over here and their head is over here. And I'm not like that. Everything is together. So that for me, the healing is about everything at once. I didn't hate my body. I didn't. Some people ask me, do you feel that your body betrayed you? No, I do not feel that anything betrayed me. Anything. I'm not a religious person, you know, but I suppose a religious person might say, I don't feel that God betrayed me. I don't feel like anything betrayed me. There were some, you know, weird parts of all of this when you're looking in the mirror, you know, after surgery and you have these drains in and then you have Steri-Strips over the incisions and, you know, you have to empty the drains and it's like your body fluid is coming out of there and part of it is blood. And it's like, whoa, this is an intense experience. And sometimes I'd be doing that and I, you know, emptying the drains and stuff. And I'd be like, whoa, this is intense, you know. It's my body fluids that are coming out of there. And also for me, one side, on the right side, it was extraordinarily bruised after surgery. Nothing was wrong. And I knew nothing was wrong. The surgeon said, nothing's wrong. But I mean, talk about black, black bruising from the armpit all the way down into the hip. And so I'd look at that, you know, and then your chest is swollen and stuff like that. I mean, I'm laughing about it now, but the thing is, it is a wild experience, you know? And then the fear of
like, it's not for sissies.
It's not for sissies. And then you can't lift your arms. And for me, who's like very active physically, like my surgeon said, I have never had a patient who just so wanted to move, who so wanted to be active. Because for 6 weeks, you can't lift anything more than 10 pounds. You have to do it with two hands. For me, I sort of had to wear the same few outfits for several weeks. I mean, it's... But all of I'm saying all of that. What precipitated is the thing about, was the body a separate thing? No, it was all together. I mean, I love my body. And so why wouldn't I love it going through this? Why wouldn't I come to love it more? You know, why wouldn't I take even better care? I feel like I'm in better health. I take even better care of myself. Now, some people may say, you're not even disciplined. You're just rigid, you know, but whatever.